to the Bridge Church podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
As we were in a time of worship this morning, it was just laid on my heart that would I pray for healing? Would I pray for restoration in the room? And I don't know if it's meant for one or for the 99, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the brokenhearted. We're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray for restoration in marriages. We're going to pray restoration in personal relationships, because we are no greater than that we can give out to other people. May we be the light of the world that Jesus has called us to be. And Heavenly Father, God, we stand here today, Lord. We stand here united under the banner of your name, God. We stand here united under the flagship that you are the Heavenly Father who created all that we may see, God. May we continue to be that light of the world for you, Heavenly Father, Lord. But this morning specifically, God, we pray for those that are hurting. We pray for those that need healing in their lives, Lord. May that be a physical ailment. May that be a spiritual ailment. May that be a personal relationship ailment, God. We pray for restoration in those. We pray for healing in those, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray that those that may have something that they need healed, God, may they lift their arms to you, Lord. May they surrender their life in the believing of a miracle, God. May they believing in their family united again, Lord. May they believe in the restoration of their marriage. May they believe in the restoration of a relationship with their children. May they believe in a restoration in a relationship in their community, God. May they believe in restoration in a relationship with you, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we are thankful. We are thankful that we get to ask for it, God. We get to ask for it. We get the forgiveness of your grace. The blood shed on Calvary, Heavenly Father, leads us to the restoration through your grace, God. And we will become a new creation in you, God. And we thank you for the power that you have left behind in your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We are never alone. We are always comforted. And we always know that you come after the one. May we lead by the same example, Heavenly Father, and always come after the one, God. In Jesus' name I pray in all of these magnificent things. Amen. Do me a favor. You can have a seat and make yourself comfortable. If you didn't get to say hello to somebody, please do. Take your time and say hello this morning. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Bridge Church. I'm going to try to manufacture and move in this table and speak to you at the same time this morning. Welcome to the Bridge Church. I am Jason Clark. I am one of the lead pastors here, and just one of the humble servants of Christ that gets to stand on this platform on a Sunday morning and announce his name to this entire community. And may for it ever be that I may forever be a humble servant of his word. And just welcome to this family. And we believe that we are sent here into this community to be a family, not to ever ignite the name of the Bridge Church, but can we ignite the name of our Heavenly Father and spread that message of hope to this community. And welcome to week two. We kicked off our series last week. As some of you may were not here, last week was our first public gathering. So you're still on the fresh side. This is number two. So you get to see some of the mistakes we might have corrected from last week. But last week we kicked off our series, There Is Light. And Pastor Daniel took us through this great image of understanding that as Jesus came into the world, he was going to be the light of the world. And that as Jesus came here, he would shine that light bright for others to see so that they may believe in the Messiah. They may believe in the Savior that was foretold, that was prophesied about throughout the Old Testament. And that brought us to coming into week two, where we're going to kind of look at the fact of what is obtaining the light and remaining the light. And each series that we have here, we will ignite a banner verse to go with it. And for us, a banner verse is the take-home message that we want, the take-home scripture that we want you to retain throughout this entire series. And what it helps us with also as a body is scripture memorization. And understand that the tool of scripture memorization is so that the word of God may be in us. And as the word of God becomes in us, may we live out that word of God. And the only way we can know the word of God is by reading the word of God. So as we obtain to this scripture memorization, we look at our banner verse. Our banner verse is John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And as we understand what we're speaking of light, understand light has taken a turn throughout Scripture, that the Old Testament, the reference of light itself meant many different areas. Sometimes in the Old Testament, light would be referenced to God. Sometimes light would be referenced to the actual concept of light. Other times it would be used in different examples of just referencing different things from an animal all the way into a specific scene that someone may have seen along their journey. And as we transferred to the New Testament, light took a whole new fold. behold, as light took on the light of the world, which would be Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Savior, the King of the Jews, as he came into the world, it would proclaim that he was the light of the world. And as we speak this week on obtaining the light and maintaining the light, understand that this is a concept of foundational Christianity. This is a very foundational subject as we look at how do we obtain the light of Jesus Christ? How do we maintain the light of Jesus Christ? And what we may do it is, Pastor Daniel guided us through last week, that something is the walk of, as we walk this walk and the fruits of the Spirit are displayed in our lives, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are adjectives that were to describe what would be the fruits of the Spirit as Jesus lived in his believers, in his followers. But the concept of obtaining the light and maintaining the light is also the introduction, for some may have not heard it this way, of missional Christianity. To understand that Christianity, as it came into the world, was a missional subject. It was a subject that not only relied on Jesus, and once Jesus left, it would all still rely on his works from heaven. It would rely in the works of his believers. And this concept of missional Christianity, you can look at Matthew 5:14, will come from kind of backwards forward. Matthew 5:14, he told his disciples, his followers, he said, "You are the light of the world." And understand, that is a plural setting. That was not a singular setting. That was not spoken to one man. That was a plural setting to tell his disciples, "You are the light of this world." Right? You are going to carry this light. And if we look at John 8:12, where Jesus spoke these words, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in John 9:5, he really gave the descriptive to show how this transfer, this process of reflection was going to take place, as he said, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." So understand, I'm going to break it down to a little different curve for you. As Jesus was in the flesh, he proclaimed himself to be the light of the world. And while he was the light of the world, those followers of him, the disciples, those that heard his message there, those that followed his teachings, right? That's who he was proclaiming. You will be the light of the world. As he ascended into heaven and left the Holy Spirit here for every believer, that as you accepted Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit would come into your life, and you now are the light of the world. As Jesus is gone, it is now his followers, his servants, even in Isaiah, his servants will light his path. His servants will be the light to that path for those to find Jesus. So it's very understanding that obtaining the light of Jesus is what we call saving, being saved. It is what we call our salvation. Obtaining the light of Jesus is our forms of repentance, our forms of asking forgiveness, to get to the concept of Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to accept you in my life and walk a life where I can submit to your teachings, to your followings, Lord, that I can profess you are King of Kings, you are King of the Jews, you are the Messiah, you are the saving one. That is obtaining the light, that the Holy Spirit is available for us to guide us, to walk with us, to be for you, be for me. That is obtaining the light of Jesus Christ. And it's such a concept, if you look at it, that it's a concept of reflection. That living a Christian life is a concept of reflection. That things are going to be reflected throughout your life. And I'm even going to break it down to the scientific term here of reflection. The laws of reflection are as follows. The incident ray, or the incoming ray, the reflected ray, or the outgoing ray, and the normal to the reflection surface. Let me break that down because it blew my mind about 20 times reading it. That's you and I. The reflective surface is, what are both of them hitting? What is the light shining to, and what is it going off of, right? So that's you and I in the terms of spirituality. They would parallel each other or be side by side. So as the Holy Spirit is in our lives, as we are going through this walk, this spiritual walk with Christ, our life should reflect and parallel as close as possible the life that Jesus lived while he was on earth. So if we think about the daunting task that is, the power that is inside of that message alone, the power inside of those words, that as we walk a life of Christianity, as we walk a life of as a believer of Christ, that as his incoming light came in us and we shine that light outward, that we would parallel each other in our actions, right? That we would continue to go to obtain a level of progressive sanctification. We would get closer to how Jesus lived his life, right? And the responsibility alone in the message of reflection, his light, is enough to make us reflect for about the next 60 days over what our lives look like. And if someone looked at my life, would they stop and say, man, I bet you he parallels Jesus when he walked the earth? Incredible self-reflection at that point in time of a message. Incredible look at to say, what are my children seeing with their eyes? What are my coworkers seeing with their eyes? What are the people at the grocery store seeing with my eyes? This reminds me, as I was coming past, some of you may know Praise Assembly in Buford, I was driving past one day picking my kids up from school, and there was a line of traffic that stretched forever, and I'm thinking, what in the world? So right in front of the church, just past the church, so I cut through the backside of the church through the grass, came around the other side, and I see one guy, a young kid, sitting in his vehicle with the four ways on, and about 30 other people letting him have it. And his car wouldn't start, so I got up and asked, I said, what's wrong? He said, my car won't start. I said, put it in neutral, we'll push you out. He said, okay, thank you. We pushed him over the little median, we got him into safety, we got him in as far, and traffic continued to flow. But I thought to myself, I sure hope that that wasn't anybody attempting to show the love of Jesus with a horn, right? Get out of my way, so I can continue on my journey, leaving you to the wayside, right? As we sang that song, The One, he left for the one, right? And the power, just in something simple, as someone stopping to push your car out of the road. And that story will carry for years and years and infect people that you will never hear. That's the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, is that you will never hear half the stories, but it has to start somewhere. The reflection of light has to start somewhere. Your light has to shine at a particular area, at a particular people group, in a particular region, and what they see is what they're going to believe in you. You don't get the second comeback to come up here and give the good message. And they say, well, no, I saw it. I saw the truth of the light. You've already shown me your truth. And it's just a self-reflective time to say, man, what do people see when they see me? If you have your Bibles with you this morning, this is where we're going to kind of come into meat and potatoes over what we're talking about here today. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. If you don't have a Bible, they are on the slides behind us. If you have a phone, you do get service in here. And if you have the Bible app, you can pull that up as well. But understand, I want to give you some context right here. And we're going to come back into this context in a little bit later. When Jesus is giving this teaching at this point in time, Jesus is not in a small group setting. There have been many people. If you read the verses before, in fact, verse 29 tell you, as the crowds increased. So there was a gathering of people who had come together to hear Jesus teach. Why is that important? Because I'm going to implement this thought in your head, that Jesus taught two different size groups. He taught in intimate settings with his disciples. At times he walked off with one or two. At times he spoke in front of thousands. At times he spoke in front of hundreds. Jesus taught in different settings, and he specifically taught in how he taught in those settings. If you read the Bible, think about when he taught in intimate settings, he mostly talked in parables, or what we call riddles sometimes, right? He pushed their minds in these intimate settings. And while we can't continue to ever attempt to make up words that aren't in the Word of God, but you know, as a human being, someone who pushes your mind, it pauses you to reflect on yourself or reflect on that situation even harder, whereas in the public setting, we look at more hitting subjects really quickly and continue to go, because I got a lot of information, I want this group, and we don't get the chance for one-on-one questions. So in an intimate setting, he gets the feedback. In this public setting, this gathering, he does not get the feedback as often, right? We hear once in a while where someone raises their hand and the crowds turn and face to him. But imagine our shoes, where there's thousands of people. Will you be the one to raise your hand and ask a question in the midst of thousands of people? Just the difference in teachings of styles of Jesus and what he taught in is important to reflect on even in your own spiritual life. And where are you gaining spiritual growth from, as we'll come back into it. But verse 33, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. I added the two extra eyes. Understand, that is not in scripture, but I want to focus. Your eye is the lamp of your body. Your eye is the lamp of your body. What you see is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body is also full of darkness. darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you. And this piece of scripture is so powerful because he is foretelling what we are facing right now. Our eyes are our health of our spirituality, our health of our life. It comes from our eyes, right? And sight itself is so magnificent. Sight is so magnificent. When you break down the human eye and what it captures, is light's often, the eyes act like a camera for the brain. As it catches glimpses of light in different parallels and sends the messages to the brain, and the brain receives it and retracts statements to it. So you come up with concepts here that started here. So what you see oftentimes becomes what you believe. What you read often becomes the staple of what you stand on, right? And it's just this power to think that that's what these bad boys do, but understand sight does not show us the goodness of God. Our faith shows us the goodness of God. Our sight does not get us to see the amazing gifts that God has given each person. Our faith allows us to receive the gifts that God has given us. So while we say seeing is believing, faith is believing in our context. Seeing is not believing. And in the world we are today, I probably don't need to go to the depth I will today to bring back that seeing is not believing. That what you see is always not the truth. That what you read in a specific report is not necessarily what really went down or what really happened into it. And if you look at this time frame that we're in, the time frame that we've hit upon in society, even if you read the Bible, it is foretold of the issues we would face in this world today. That why would there be such a profound statement that your eyes, right? Think about the context of that when it was written. What were they reading at that point in time? They still had a Bible, they had scriptures, but there wasn't 50,000 magazines you could pick up. There wasn't the World Wide Web that you could click on and read an article off of. There wasn't everybody's social media platform for them to spout whatever they choose that they say they believe in, and more freedom to it, more power to it, right? Or the world of blogging, where I can write my thoughts down and my beliefs into what I believe and what I want, and I can press enter, and the whole world has access to what I believe, and the whole world has access to what it was. The very first sermon I ever preached in my time in ministry to a public setting, the very first sermon I preached was on this setting to a youth group. And as I came into that, by no means, I just turned 35 on Friday, so I'm not up there on as far as I grew up watching these shows. On live TV, I grew up watching reruns of these shows, so let me clarify this piece here. But as I grew up, I think back to sitting with my grandfather, and we watched shows called I Love Lucy, we watched shows called Andy Griffith, we watched shows called Good Times, we watched shows called The Jeffersons, we watched shows called Sanford and Son, right? And I think about it, they were so family-based. They had their issues. They had their issues internally. They had their issues that were facing the world, but they were so minuscule, and it all resulted back to the family. They all lived in community together. Neighbors coming over, hanging out at the houses, right? Families eating together. Families and their neighbors eating together, right? I remember even Fred Sanford. That's my favorite show of all time. Fred Sanford, man. And when he was about to think he's having a heart attack, everything, oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming. You know, it still was his wife after she was gone. It was what TV showed. It was the love of family. It was the love of your neighbors. It was the love of your community. And then we flip to today, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, right? Can I live the wildest lifestyle known to mankind and get paid money to do it? And for society to give me attaboy, that is cool. For me to completely wreck all morals and ethics and drown them all out for society in general to give me good ratings on a TV show. Society and TV tend to mirror each other. The question becomes, which one is leading? Is it leading by the information we're seeing? Or is it being led by the writers who are watching us and giving us our actions on the TV and what we're becoming? But it's a fearful concept to think how long ago Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, Andy Griffith, I Love Lucy, you could go on to some of your favorite ones. Those are the ones that were near and dear with my granddad and I. You could go on and on. It wasn't that long ago that that's what society was reflecting. And we've hit the fast forward button into this approach, right, of what we're seeing and what we're doing and what we're actions. Look at kids. If you don't believe it, speak to a teenager
and have an open conversation over what they know about reality and what they know about sex and what they know about drug use. It's real. It is at an incredibly young age. And if we don't stand and speak about it, and because I'm afraid that I said sex on a microphone, that someone may get offended, then the world will run right over top of us on every subject that we want to be quiet about. Right? That wasn't the power in the gospel. The power of the gospel was to speak boldly of Jesus Christ. Right? Was the power of the gospel was that I had the power of the Holy Spirit to protect me from my own fears that may limit me from standing on a platform like this today and read over that section of my notes and not say it to the public. But that's not the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is that I can stand here and I've been saved by the King of Kings. Right? I've been saved to read His Word of God to understand what are ethics, what are morals, what are belief systems that Christ followed. How should we be living as human beings? We shouldn't treat each other differently based on the status of refugee or treat people based on the status of white, black, brown. That's not the Word of God. Right? It's not the Word of God. Society does not reflect the church. The church has to stand up to it. Followers of Christ doesn't mean we go out and we say, oh gosh, this is what I stand on. And they start to speak and you say, nope, not hearing it. The Word of God tells me. Man, how many great leaders led by questions? How many great conversations are started with a question, not your own personal statement? How do you ever know their personal struggle when all they're hearing about is your personal faith? Right? It's part of the process. Part of the process of reflective light is I reflect it out and they observe my life. They ask me questions. Why do you do that way? Right? Why do you no longer come here with us at this point in time? Why do you no longer go to that one specific place to hang out anymore? Why do you go with your family everywhere they go? Why do you spend every waking moment with your children and your wife? Why do you? A great sermon that Pastor Daniel and I listened to this week, and I passed it on to some of the team members. Greatest thing, one of his opening comments was, and he's a great communicator of the gospel, he said, I challenge you to live a questionable life. Will you live a life of the gospel that people will ask you questions? Or will you live a life just like your neighbor who doesn't know Jesus? Live a questionable life. And the power within this is connected to our sight that sometimes I don't believe we understand how easily we are controlled by what we view. Pornography statistics, present day. The addiction is so strong that most have labeled it greater than that of an opiate addiction. That a human being cannot break the power of addiction to pornography by their own willpower. That's the strength of your eyes. That's the strength of your sight. But understand, just as you can be addicted to reading anything, you can be addicted to reading the Word of God. It's what habits you choose to view with your eyes. But we have to come to common terms that we agree there is an active conflict between the light and the darkness. This is a daily conflict between the light and the darkness. And understand that God, as He represents light, has sent His Son to represent light, that those that fought against it and those that stood against it would be the reference of darkness. I didn't put this on the slide, but I want to read this to you. This is so profound to show you how close it is and understand the scripture and how long ago it was wrote. But listen to this. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan disguises himself as the angel of light. He disguises himself as the angel of light. And his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, if you want to write that down to understand, the warfare between light and darkness is real. Satan disguises himself as the good. Satan disguises himself as the feel good. Satan disguises himself as what gets you the yes, that was awesome. That was cool. You've been accepted at a different level now. When your peer group is accepting you and you know you're running in the darkness, don't continue to nod your head that this is where you should be. It's not. It's misleading. It's Satan. And we'll take it to the step farther to understand we've read of religious cults as well. One of the most profound statements that ever said to me was a gentleman who asked me, would I be his spiritual mentor? And I said, I'll walk with you in life. I said, and you know, I'm there to support you in your decisions. And I said, and he, great man of God too. And I said, why do you feel that you need me as your spiritual mentor? I said, you know, my thought process is always, if I'm in line with the Word of God, I'm going to stay within God's path. And he said to me, one of the statements that I will never forget, and I passed it on to many, many people, and I will continue to pass it. He said, yeah, but people have enslaved and killed people before and throughout times, and reference scripture is why they did it. And I said, you are exactly right. That the angel of light, Satan himself, can formulate our minds to believe that we are doing so good as he rejoices in our decision after decision as we train wreck our life moment by moment, not realizing that we're on a path of darkness and not a path of light. In an era of fake news, in an era of when people write whatever they want to write, in an era of when people give whatever they feel as they could gain the most traction with their followers, it results back to understand the source. If you do not consider the source in what your eyes see, you will be led down a path of destruction. Understand, you are not led by man in a microphone. You are led by God. Man with a microphone gets to teach the word of God, but he is also led by God. The source of all will come from the word of God. So if I contend that my Bible study time or my time of spiritual growth only takes place on a Sunday morning in the context of what the man with the microphone ever tells me, of what my pastor tells me, and I never read it straight from the source myself, how do you know it was ever true? How do you know what you're being told is true? Consider the source where it comes from, and there's no greater way to put slides up where you get to see the Word of God, even if you don't have the context of a Bible. But this is our source of strength. This is our source of truth. And maybe you're not at the point of reading a Bible yet. It's got to be in your life. It's got to start. It doesn't mean that you find a pattern that you can't find successful where you come out and say, I'm going to read the Bible in 365 days and you've never read one verse. Probably going to fail out real quick. But maybe it starts that, you know what, twice a week before dinner, we're going to read one verse. Once a week before dinner, we're going to read one verse. Every morning on the way to school, we're going to read a verse. Every evening before we go to bed, we're going to read a verse. It's got to be an effective pattern, but you've got to understand the context and the seriousness of light, that the Word of God is our source. We are led by the Word of God. We are led from His Word, His Scriptures that we believe is 100% accurate, 100% true, that He has given us the foundation of our Christian living in His context of His Word. And that our only source for truth would always have to come by that. And even as our bridge code, some of you have seen it on the shirts, it says right at the top, we are led by the Word of God. We understand we must be humble to the Word of God. We must be humble to the Holy Spirit to allow Him to lead us through this. This is not us creating our own path, our own words, our own scripture. No, the Word of God is our foundation that we live on. The Word of God is what we become enslaved to and servant to His Word to understand that is where we're supposed to be. And I'm going to ask you this question. What are you reflecting? And the second part that you won't see, who are you reflecting it to? What are you reflecting? What beam is coming inside of you and what beam is trailing out of you? What are you absorbing with your eyes and allowing yourself to become for others to see? In an era that it is unprecedented, the amount of sights an individual can see in a day, the amount of images that an individual can see, I would be willing to bet that we have never seen an era with more personality disorders than the one we live in right now. Because people do not know their true identity because they've continued to find it from their eyes in other people that they want to be. Your true identity will be found in the Word of God. Your true identity will be found in the life of Jesus Christ. Becomes what becomes light in our eyes becomes the fruits we demonstrate. I didn't put up this slide because we could preach for probably the next 4 weeks on these few verses that I'm about to speak, but I couldn't give it to a better one than I'm going to give you right now. And if we go to Galatians
chapter 5, verse 19. Again, I didn't put it up because we're going to come back in and teach off this in just a little while. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. I could have left the entire message on that passage alone. And what we are living, and what we are seeing, we become the fruits of the Spirit through our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if our personal relationship with Jesus Christ does not grow, our light cannot grow. If we want to maintain the light that we've been given from Jesus Christ, but we are not in the Word of God, we have no prayer life, we cannot maintain the light that He has given. Darkness is fighting us on a daily basis. But the power in the gospel is that it's available for every single believer. That is, every believer allows the Spirit into their life. They have the power of everything we just said to turn from all and shine a light outward for others to see. We all have lived different lives. We've all just lived different paths. We've all shown different things at different seasons of our life. As we go through seasons of grief, as we go through seasons of joy, as we go through seasons of peace, as we go through seasons of recklessness, as we go through seasons of being lost, seasons of being found, the constant is we allow it in our lives to be swayed by the worldly pull. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will be glad and rejoice in it. It's a staple statement of life. No matter the good, the bad, and ugly, the Word of God holds true. Those that believe in Him will have eternal life. Those of us that leave this world at different times will have a chance to reunite with our loved ones under the kingdom of Christ, where we will walk on streets of gold. But our health comes from our eyes. Taking it to another one, be careful, little eyes, what you see. What are you reflecting? And who are you reflecting it to? Are you living the questionable life in the grocery store where people are asking you questions while you stopped and you have 5 kids hanging off your grocery cart, but you stopped to pick up the little old lady's stuff who fell all over the floor? Are you living the questionable life that goes, why are you going home to your neighborhood and mowing your neighbor's yard? Why are you bringing cookies to your neighbor? Why are you inviting them to dinner? Why are you doing these things? Because I want to ensure you have the same promise that I have in my life, that I will live forever with the King of Kings. And the only way I'm going to know it is my interaction with society. The only way people are going to see it is when the beacon of light continues to pour off of me at a level no one has ever seen before. Right? I look like all 4 of the spotlights up front turn on full blast. That's the light I'm going for. Right? I want to burn a fire down in my soul that allows me to walk a life that not only do I show the fruits of the Spirit, but I boldly preach His gospel. And I want to encourage you this way as we get ready to wrap up. The question of boldly preaching the gospel and evangelism can take so many forms. And we had this conversation this week. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not going up and speaking in front of hundreds of people. And I'm not going to do it. But the missional context of Christianity, what is evangelism in your neighborhood? Is it as you have coffee with one of your friends? That's evangelism. Is it as you sit in your small group setting? That's evangelism. As it is you stand on a platform and profess the Word of God to multiple people? That is evangelism. God has gifted us all uniquely. He has gifted us with the power of the Holy Spirit available to all believers to be in your context, to give you what you need when you need it. And your context may be one-on-one settings. Man, profess the Word of God in those one-on-one settings. Show the light of Christ in that one-on-one setting, just as you would in front of a setting of 50 to 100 people. Jesus always showed true in every setting.
he was always the same, which is where I came back to his teaching style. No matter if it was his disciples, no matter if it was one, no matter if it was 5,000 that he fed, he was the same. His evangelism took so many turns and so many roads, but it boiled down to the same thing. He professed the word so that they would look to his heavenly Father. So I want to encourage you this week. Look at your neighborhoods. Look at your friends. Are they asking you the questions? Are they looking at you as the light of the world? Because we've been given the mission. It's in our hands. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for us. And as I open this service and prayed for healing, I'm going to pray for a different level of healing where I will give an opportunity for those that maybe have never repented to Christ. I will even give a moment of silence where you can ask for forgiveness. I will lead you in a prayer and understand as this can be a moment of you accepting Christ into your life, which begins a spiritual walk. Whereas the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is available to all believers and you have the power of the Word of God in your life as well. And for those of you that have been walking with Christ, my prayer for you inside of this prayer is that you continue to stay attuned to the Word of God, that you continue to stay sharp, and you continue to shine a light for others to see. As you bow your head and close your eyes, Heavenly Father, thank you for the power, God. Thank you for the awe that we get when we look to you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for leaving the Spirit, the Holy Spirit here for us to be attuned to. God, may we sit in silence as we listen to the ways you direct us and where you direct us to, Heavenly Father. May we never turn down an opportunity to profess your name, God. May we never turn down the opportunity based on our human fears. May we never turn down the opportunity based on the human air of anxiety, God. May we realize your power has rose and broke above all of those, God. And maybe today in this room, there are those that have never ever repented in their life and asked for forgiveness and asked for a moment where you will walk with them in this life, Heavenly Father. And may we present that, God. May we sit here, Lord, just in a moment of silence, God, as we sit here and reflect to you. And those that may have never had that moment of reflection, I'm going to say a prayer. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. Understand, as we're told, is that the alignment of this has to be that as I repent for my sins, as I believe in Christ in my heart, with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul, as he comes into me. And say this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry for my hurt. But God, I am thankful for you. Please forgive me. But also please walk with me, Lord. Please be in my life, Heavenly Father. Please guide me and let me be the light of the world for others to see to come back to you, God. May I walk true to your word. And may I seek you daily in prayer, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to transition back to worship. And as we do this morning,
we hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.